I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 20. And then what I would like for you to do is I would like for you to take your Bible and be ready with your finger or whatever it might be in Judges chapter number 2, so that when we get to that passage of Scripture, you will not have very far to go. Now, the last several messages from the book of Exodus, this is one of those messages tonight that you kind of got to develop a little bit to where we want to try to get to tonight. And so I want you to be reminded of where we're at, and that is that God, with Moses being the leader, the children of Israel have come to the Mount Sinai. You'll remember that way back when Moses was instructed by God to be the deliverer, that he would bring them out with a mighty hand. And we have made much reference to how everything up until this point, God had done everything for them. And he had brought them to this place. Now things are going to begin to change a little bit. And as they find themselves now at the at Mount Moriah, God is going to begin to give them some responsibilities. He's going to give them some things that they need to do to obey. If the only way that I can put it is, he was going to bring them to the next level of where they needed to be. So you think about it. They came out of Egyptian bondage. They've come across the Red Sea. They've come through the wilderness. There's been several things that have taken place, like manna and water. But God is going to now give them, because when you think of Exodus 20, what do most people think about? The Ten Commandments. All right? So when you come to Exodus chapter number 20, you now have God giving Moses the instructions. Now, so far we've looked at the idea of meeting with God, how to prepare ourselves to meet with God, the separation that took place in chapter 19, don't cross the borders. All those things are just as real today as they were then. God gives us borders. God gives us places we're not to cross. God tells us to clean ourselves up. We're to be right with Him. Isn't it amazing? Some things just come over and over and over again. So in chapter number 20, let me put it like this. It only took one day for Israel to come out of Egypt. But we're going to find that it's going to take 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. All right, so he wants them to be a peculiar people. Does everybody remember that? All right, so I just want to read. I'm going to bypass the law. I'm going to bypass the Ten Commandments, because the message that I want to deal with tonight is going to have to develop through the Scriptures, and the Ten Commandments are absolutely involved, and we may even go back and preach through the Ten Commandments. I'm not sure yet. But here's the title of the message. And I believe this is a very, very important message. And I will tell you this. Sometimes I realize the time, and I may move along, but I'm not going to cut anything out tonight. So I don't know how long this is going to take, because I really believe that's how important this message is. And here's the title of the message: Get a Right View of God. Because if you have a wrong view of God, everything is going to be messed up in your life. And we're going to see this principle in the life of the children of Israel. So, Exodus chapter 20, I'm going to read verses 18 through verse number 26. Now think about this. The last verse here, verse 17, is the Ten Commandments have been given. Moses has been instructed by God to come up and receive the Ten Commandments. And the people before this in chapter 19 had readied themselves, kept themselves away from the border. And by the way, and I'll probably go back and say this again, but do you remember, can you remember when they came to the mountain, when they came there and God said, I'm going to give you some instruction. Do you remember what they said? Oh, we'll do whatever you say. Remember that? All right, just keep that in mind. But then notice what happens in verse number 18. After the Ten Commandments, or after he's given him the next level. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. Now notice this. This is the wrong view of God. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. All right? Now, God has never killed anybody for listening to them. All right? God has not killed anybody for listening. But they are so overwhelmed that they said this. Now, I tell you what. I know we said that we would do what God told us to do, but you just speak to Moses and let Moses speak to us, and let's not, we don't want to hear direct from God. We want to hear through Moses. That is exactly what they are saying here. Now, there's a lot, we got to get a hold of that. That don't even make no sense. Verse 21, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hew stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto my altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered therein. There's another message that's found right there. But I want to deal mostly with this idea of verse number 19, where the people of God, after receiving the Ten Commandments, and after seeing the lightnings and the noise and the thunderings and the smoke, they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we'll hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Father, I pray tonight that we would understand, God, what it means to have a right view of the God of this universe. And Lord, the idea here is that we cannot just expect to hear from man alone, even though it is important to hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. But the idea that I believe that is conveyed right here for us tonight is every one of us needs to be able to meet with God themselves. So I pray tonight as we go through this text and look at chapter 20 and look at the scriptures totally in their context, we'll see this truth tonight. And then, Lord, you speak to our hearts as only you can. In Christ's name we ask, amen. You know, God is trying to rise the nation of Israel to a new level, to a new place of responsibility, a place where they are to receive the Word of God, obey the Word of God. Now, let's be reminded again. I know that we've already looked at this, but in chapter 19, notice with me again in verse number 5. He told them in verse number 4 that he had bared them up on eagle's wings. He had brought them, the nation of Israel, to himself. And again, they're at the mountain. They're at Mount Moriah. They have come out of Egypt now, and God is now saying, hey, listen, you are a nation. You're no longer just a tribe of families. You are now a nation. You have come to worship me. I'm going to teach you. And by the way, do we all understand they became a nation? God gave them a land. God gave them the land of the Canaan land. They were to dwell that. They were to be their nation. That is still their land today. I don't care what politicians say today. It is still the promised land. It was the promised land given to the Jews. And when it comes down to the bottom line in the end, they will occupy this land. But God is taking them to this land. But he says before you go into this land, you have to have these covenants. You have to have this relationship with me. You need to know how to worship me. You need to know how to worship, and we can move it to the New Testament, how to worship in spirit and truth. But again, verse number 5 of chapter 19. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be, look at this, a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Then he says this in verse 6, because this is going to come up in our message. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So Moses comes down and calls for the elders of the people, and he laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. Now, a couple of things here. Number one, he said, you're going to be a peculiar people. Then he said this, you're going to be a kingdom of priests. Now, in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, we know this. A priest has access to God. A priest has access to God. He said, I'm going to make you a nation, a peculiar people, a people who are priests. Now, we could go to the New Testament, and the same thing says of New Testament believers that God has made us kings and priests unto God. And all that means is this. What that means is we don't have to have a mediator. We don't have to have some man to mediate us, to mediate for us, so that we can go to the throne of God. You can get up every morning and read your Bible, and you can pray to God, and you can come boldly to the throne of the grace of God, because you, as a saved, born-again child of God, are a priest unto God. Everybody understand that now, because this is very important to get a hold of. So, before God gave Israel his statutes and his law, and what we call the Ten Commandments, we've already looked at. They had to prepare to meet with God, and we talked about that last time. So God calls Moses up on the mountain to meet with him and gives him specific instructions for the people, specifically the Ten Commandments. And he begins to do this in chapter 20. So here's Moses. He's meeting with God, and he begins to give them the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven images. Thou shalt not bow them down and serve them, any kind of idol. You're not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You are to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You are to work 6 days, and on the seventh day you're to rest. You're to honor your father and mother. You're to not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That means you're not to lie. Thou shalt not covet what other people have. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And then when he gave that, then they saw, whoo, all the lightnings and thunder and shaking and smoke. And my, what a manifestation of God it was to the children of Israel. Now, when God gives you commandments, and God gives you statutes, and God gives you laws, and then he makes a display like that, listen to me, that means he's serious about it. Amen. That means that he didn't give them the 10 suggestions and just hope that they would do these things and everything would work out for them. No, he said, these are the commandments. Amen. These are the law. Now, again, I would remind you they had already said, oh, whatever you say, God. Now, we know you're going to give us something. We don't understand it all. But whatever you get it, we'll say. Now, after this takes place, they said, time out. Why don't you just tell Moses what you want us to know, and we'll just listen to Moses, because we're afraid that if we come near you, if you speak with us, we'll die. Now, let me say something right here so we can save some time later on, and that is this. Israel had nothing to fear. And you have nothing to fear when God speaks to you. The fear shows up when you don't do what he says. But, in fact, he said you have nothing to fear except if you break past the boundaries that I have given you. Remember that? I've given you boundaries. Don't pass those boundaries. But he never said this, as you listen to what I have to say, I might just kill a few of you. I'm thinking about it. While I'm talking, I might just do some zapping. He didn't say that. God wants us to listen to him. So when you look at verse number 19, doesn't it seem odd that they would actually say this? It doesn't seem right. That's not the attitude that the people of God should have in the relationship with the God that has brought them out of Egyptian bondage, given them something to eat every day, has given them water out of a rock, has brought him to the place of the next level to get the law of God, to get some instructions, to understand what it's going to mean. Now listen, what it's going to mean, not only to get some instructions, but to get a blueprint of the tabernacle and then literally begin to worship God in the way that God had said that he wanted to be worshiped at this time. Now there's a principle here that we need to learn tonight. It's so very important. And it's really the crux of my message. And I'm going to give you what the main thrust is tonight and then develop it as we go. And the principle is this. When you come in this journey from salvation to a victorious Christian life. Now, remember that entering into Canaan land is not a type of going to heaven. But entering into Canaan land is a type of the victorious Christian life. Because we know that once they get into land, there's still going to be problems. There's no problems in heaven. When you get to heaven, all problems are over. No longer have to deal with the flesh. Somebody say amen to that. No longer have to deal with disease. Somebody say amen to that. No longer have to deal with death. So don't tell me that Canaan land, over in Canaan land. No. Knock it off. Getting to Canaan land is getting to the land that flows with milk and honey. It's the land where God has given us. It's a Christian life that gives us the peace of God that passeth all understanding, not to do away with the issues and the problems of life. So we need to understand this. Here again, let me get back to the principle. I always have trouble, don't I? It's in your progress in the Christian life to have a victorious Christian life does not depend on hearing God from somebody else. Or let me say it like this. It does not depend on someone else hearing from God for you. Now, I hope that makes sense, but I will develop what I'm trying to talk about, meaning that if you're a child and you're a teenager, the bottom line is you live under the authority of your parents. And so they've heard from God, hopefully. They understand the principles of the Scripture probably more than you do. And so what you need to understand is you cannot just hear from God eventually based on your parents. You have to learn how to hear from God for yourself. And I realize it is important that any man of God that stands in this pulpit or any pulpit that preaches the Word of God needs to preach the Word of God truthfully, but at the same time, you might come to the place in your life where a preacher is not right with God, or you get moved to an area where there's not a sound church, which I'm not sure that I really understand that. But the truth is if you find yourself in the military and you're placed off by yourself and there's not a church or whatever the case might be, listen, my friend, you can't just live your life based on what the preacher preaches. You have to base your life based on the Word of God for yourself. And the people were saying, hey, Moses, we'll listen to what you have to say, but we don't want to listen to God for ourselves right now. That's just a little bit too much. I'm telling you tonight that every child of God needs to be able to rightly divide and hear God for themselves. I'm not doing you any service by trying to be a dictator of your faith. I'm not doing you any service to say you better do this or you better not do that. No, what I need to do is preach the Word of God, let you enter it into your life so you know how to develop a relationship with God yourself. Because all over this world there's situations and places where the liberty and freedom to assemble and hear from the Word of God doesn't necessarily exist like it does here tonight. But the progress of your walk with God needs to depend upon you hearing from God, not just hearing from someone else hearing from God. Now we talk about that we got a message. Yeah, a message from God. You know, there's a message from God in every passage of Scripture. You know, I hear these preachers, I'm just waiting on a message from God. Well, hey, Gilroy, just open up the Bible, pick out five verses, and you can have a message from God. Isn't this the whole counsel of God? So I'm just telling you, chapter 19, God tells Israel that he wants them to be a peculiar treasure, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Israel said to Moses, after God said that, was basically, look, all that you need to know, that what I've done for you, I've bared you up on eagle's wings, I've done everything up for you up until this point, now I'm going to give you some instructions, and I want you to hear from God, and I want you to obey God, and I want you to do what God says. Now praise God for Moses, all right? He had brought him to this place as the leader. And I'm telling you, God wants us to hear from him, and God wants us to do whatever God tells us to do. And that is a good attitude to have. So Moses goes and tells God, and he says, fine, that's fine. Because, hey, God, I told them what you said, and they said they're willing to do whatever you say. So Moses says, God says, tell the people to get prepared, and he'll meet with them. So we've already read this, but I'm trying to continue to go on. They sanctified themselves. They washed their clothes. Remember that? They set themselves apart from worldly cares and concerns. And for 3 days, they prepared to meet with God. So God comes down and speaks, and his voice sounded like a trumpet. The mountain quaked. It smoked. There was thunderings and lightnings. And God called Moses up on the mountain, and he gave him the Ten Commandments. Now, with all this manifestation of the presence of God, it caused Israel to now develop a wrong relationship instead of a right relationship. It got them to have a wrong attitude of what God was doing and who he was, rather than a right attitude. Folks, we need the right attitude of God tonight. We need a correct attitude of God in our own life. Now, and I believe he intended for them to fear him, no doubt about that, but not to distance themselves from him, but to come close to him. You know what? We should fear God tonight. A righteous fear, not a fear like scared fear, but a fear that he's a holy God and he's a righteous God. But they said, oh, listen, don't let God speak to us. You know, he said to them that they were a peculiar treasure. But now they're saying, don't speak, God, to us, just let Moses speak to us. No, remember, a priest had access to God. It's like God is saying, I want you to come closer to me. I don't want you to come further away. He's teaching us. And by the way, this is true for every person's life. God wants you to draw closer to him. God doesn't want you to get further away because he's to be feared. This is troubling. One, it's offensive to God because God wants us to be close to him. Second of all, it means that they didn't want any personal responsibility. Now, what if Moses isn't there? What if Moses wasn't there? Do you understand Moses is not going to live forever? Everybody got that? Do we have to wait very long to find out? No, listen to this. Now, I want you to think about this. Here's what happens if you develop a wrong attitude toward God rather than a right attitude. In verse number 21 of Exodus chapter 20, the people stood far off and Moses drew near into the thick darkness where God was. If you start reading in chapter number 21, you're going to find this, that Moses actually goes back into the presence of God and he begins to receive not just the Ten Commandments, but what we call the law. So, and by the way, the text bears out that Moses said, they saw where Moses went. Moses told them where he was going. So they knew that Moses was meeting with God. So they just said, listen, they just said, now we'll listen to Moses, but I'm not sure we want God to speak directly to us. And they enter in, and then Moses enters in the presence of God. Now, do you know what really comes up next in the life of Israel? If you develop a wrong attitude toward God and you're not getting close to God yourself and learning from God yourself and learning from the Word of God yourself, let me tell you what happened. After a while, they'll go, well, what happened to Moses? We don't even know what happened to him. But you know, we need some direction. Aaron, why don't you help us out? He goes, okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. Now listen, this is the guy that's going to be the priest. of all of the high priest of Israel. This blows my mind. And he says, okay, take all your earrings off and your jewelry off and throw it in the fire. And he makes a molten calf. Now think about this. Moses, this is all, I believe, based upon a wrong view of God. They should have been going, hey, remember those Ten Commandments we've already got? Why don't we just do what God's told us to do first before we ever expect for Him to tell us to do something else? I'm telling you right now, if they'd have just kept the Ten Commandments, man, they were breaking commandments all over the place. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now they're throwing all their stuff in a fire, and there's old Aaron making a golden calf. And they said, these be our gods that brought us out of the Egypt. Now here's Moses up here, and he is trying to get the law of God. And he does, you can read all this chapter all the way through chapter 31. And then all of a sudden, God says to Moses, you need to get down there. Them people didn't do what I said. Now remember, they said, he said, remember, I want them to be a peculiar people. They are a priest unto me. They can meet with me. They should have been obeying the commandments that they already have. But Moses, they're having trouble down there. I love this. Well, I don't love it. But Moses comes down and there's Joshua. And he said, and Joshua said, Moses, sir, I hear the noise of war in the camp. Now I'm going to bring this up to today's speed, okay, just so you can get this. And Moses said, no, that's not the noise of war. That's rock and roll music. Because Moses lived in Egypt for 40 years. He knew what rock and roll music was. And here's some of the things that rock and roll music brings about. When they got down there, they're naked and dancing around a golden calf. And Moses goes, Aaron, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, well, we was just hanging out. We didn't know what to do because we had a wrong view of who God really was. And we really hadn't been getting close to God like we should have been. Not really obeying the Ten Commandments. But all of a sudden, this golden calf jumps out of the fire. Okay, let's see. There shall not bear false witness. He's lying. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Brother, that's spiritual adultery. I don't care what anybody says. And you can just go, man, they're breaking one. Thou shalt honor thy father and the mother. How's that honoring your father and your mother? Getting naked, dancing around a calf. I told you better than that when you was growing up. And Moses does what any good preacher would do. He got mad. And that's not even my message. I'll preach that later on. But here's what I am saying. Here's what people said. Moses, you talk to God and tell us, and we don't want to talk to God, and we don't want to hear His voice. So what happens? That's what happens. Now why, preacher, are you making such a big deal about this? Because this is not an isolated incident. It's repeated often in the Bible, in the pages of the Bible, and it's repeated in reality of life this very, very day. When a person decides in their life that they want someone who knows God to represent God unto them, and they do not learn a personal dependence upon God for themselves, and they don't learn how to read their Bible and spend time in prayer and read and study the Scripture from themselves, then the problem will ensue exactly in your life what happened to the nation of Israel. Now I want you to go to Judges chapter number 2. I told you that we would get there in just a minute. Look at Judges chapter number 2. And look down at verse number 6. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. Notice this, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnaris, in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And all of that generation were gathered unto their fathers. Now notice this, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. You see, what had taken place is, as long as Moses knew what to do, they would follow Moses. As long as Joshua knew what to do, they could follow Joshua. But soon as these two great leaders died, and they are dispersed in their inheritance into the land, we have to read the book of Judges, which is not a book of revival, but a book that says this: every man did that which was right in his own eyes. When it should have said, every man who developed a relationship with God and listened to what God said had revival in their own personal life. The book of Judges is not a book of revival. It's not a book of spiritual maturity. But it is doing that is what is right in a person's eyes. And I personally believe it's tied back to this attitude of, give me someone who knows God instead of me knowing God for myself. All right? I don't think we're stretching this, but in Judges chapter 8, in verse number 32, the Bible speaks about Gideon, who is calls himself a weak vessel, but he yields himself to God. He becomes a judge to deliver Israel, and instead of Israel looking unto God, guess what they look to? Gideon. When Gideon is gone, guess what happens? Once again, they lose their devotion for God. You could go to 1 Samuel. These are just examples. And you can see Samuel was a great prophet of God, that the Bible says none of his words fell to the ground. People heard of the words of Samuel. They listened to the words of Samuel. But later on in his ministry, the people said, give us a king. Why is that? Because they're listening to somebody else who has a relationship with God rather than developing a relationship with God themselves. And it all comes from the mentality of God's people wanting to hear from God based on another person's relationship and hearing from God. Now, folks, as a pastor, I've seen this. I've seen people who have a husband and wife, and one of them dies. And the person that dies, you find out very quickly, was the one really that was the spiritual one in the family, because as long as that person was alive in the family, it seemed that the whole family served God, and as soon as that one particular person died, everybody else quit serving God. You know what they were doing? They were serving God based on mom or based on dad or based on a person, and they had not come to the place where they had developed their own relationship with God, so that if somebody died, they no longer served God. Same principle we find here with Israel. It's grievous. It's grievous to see people serve the long serve the Lord as long as their mate serves the Lord. Some love the Lord and serve the Lord all the days of their favorite pastor. And when he is gone, they leave their devotion for God and their service declines, because the question may really is, were they really worshiping the Lord, or were they worshiping the person who was telling them how to worship the Lord? Does that make sense? Some who loved the Lord and served the Lord all the days of the mission conference was held, but after the missionaries left and the conference is over, their devotion and service and promises left as well. Some who loved the Lord and served the Lord all the days of their favorite Sunday school teacher or youth leader, but when they were gone, so too was their devotion for God. Now praise God for Sunday school teachers. Praise God for youth directors. Praise God for pastors. But your Christian life and progress shouldn't be based solely dependent upon others knowing the Lord. It should be based on you personally saying, I personally heard from God. And here's what the Bible says. And by the way, this is not a problem that affects a small minority of God's people. It shows itself in Bible Christianity today. Surround yourself by people who know God, love God, and walk with God, and let those people have a good influence in your life that walk with God and hear from God. But if your confidence is in them instead of God, there'll come a time when you'll quit serving God. Or if your attitude is known or unknown, if your attitude is known or unknown, meaning tied only to hear from them instead of God yourself, you will only go so far for God and no further. It's like the attitude of this. Well, we love our pastor, and I praise God for that. But if he ain't here, I ain't coming to church. I'll break the news to you. You're serving the wrong person. Amen, preacher. Well, you know, he's the pastor. He should be here all the time. I'm not here all the time. But the Word of God is still preached. And if you develop your relationship with God on a daily basis, it doesn't matter who's preaching. It doesn't matter. Man, I hope you don't just eat once a week. No, you eat every day. I do 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day. I'm telling you right now, the ambition or the heart of a real preacher, a real pastor, ought to be for every person to have a personal walk with God. And if God has me here for the next 10 years or 15 years, I'm not going to say anything past that. It shouldn't change the direction of your Christian life personally, nor should it have changed the life of these Israelites. They should have been listening to the Ten Commandments, doing what God said, worshiping Him, and not just listening to Moses. Young people, you listen to me. As long as your parents go to church, you will. You understand that? But if they ever stop, now think about this. If they ever stop, what would you do? It should be that you have developed your relationship with God in such a way that if your parents quit going to church, that you'd still go to church. Because what you need to do is put your confidence and trust in God, not in someone that knows God. We come out of the world by salvation. We develop our sanctification and separation. We learn boundaries in our Christian life. Why? Why do we do that? Oh, well, because if we don't, the preacher will get mad. Really, that's what people think. But what we should be doing is developing our relationship with God so that we might be God's peculiar people. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. First, listen, and what I just read there, that's not Old Testament. That's New Testament. It's found in 1 Peter 2, verse number 9. And that we might meet with God, hear His Word, and obey His voice personally ourselves. Let's stand tonight. Every head bowed. Every heart. Do you serve God tonight because of someone else? Or do you serve God tonight because you serve God? Do you listen to God because of your pastor or your parents? Do you listen to God based on what they say and what they do? Or the youth director? Or the Sunday school teacher said, I got to do this? Do you develop your relationship with God because of who the pastor is? You should be developing your relationship because of who God is. Because of who God is. God will listen to you. And God wants you to grow closer and closer to Him tonight. Father, we love You. Thank You for the Word of God. The truths contained within it, the principle that we find from chapter 20 about these people who said, we just want to hear what Moses has to say, but yet they should be willing to do what Moses said, plus they should have been willing to do what God said. So I pray tonight, as God's people, we would get on our face before You and develop our relationship and our walk with God and what we do based upon the Scriptures and the Word of God, not just because of somebody else. Thank God for good influence. Thank God for good youth directors, good junior church teachers, good King's Kid teachers, good youth directors, good Sunday school teachers, a pastor that'll preach the Word of God. But Lord, it cannot be that our relationship is based solely upon this, but rather it's because You're a holy God and You've given us the Word of God and we're priests unto God tonight. And I pray we would learn this so, so very important principle in our own life tonight. In Christ's name we ask, amen. 481, Search Me, O God. John, go ahead, sing that. If you want to sing it with us tonight, let's have this invitation tonight.